actually support. And these little blue envelopes that are out on all the tables are a way that you can support this mission. We supported Brother
Praise the Lord, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I bring you greetings and blessings from India. And I really thank you for all your sacrifice and your prayers and your support. The Sunday after we returned from mission trip, when I went to attend the church in Lake Charles, one of my church friends saw me. He was so excited. He was just shouting and just he's ready to hug me. And he said, "Suresh, you're alive and you're back." I said, "What?" Then I smiled at him and said, "Yes, brother, I'm alive by God's grace and I'm back." So that's true, my brothers and sisters, and we're alive absolutely by the grace of God. And God used us in many places in a tremendous way. My family and I would like to thank you so much from the bottom of our heart for demonstrating your generosity and your love through your prayers and your finances. With your help, you know, so many souls were blessed and revived, and so many, not only individual people, but so many churches and pastors received revival and also recommitted, rededicated their lives. It was a tremendous blessing. And I commend your support for the missions to reach out to every nation, as you've seen in the video that was taken in 2015. We are reaching out and hear from First Baptist Church of Will Platte, your prayers, your finances, and your love for God and for people, reaching out to every nation, every tribe, every people and language on the face of the earth. And I commend you for your passion for Christ, for reaching out to people, and you were the church living the Great Commission. All the marvelous works that God had done throughout the mission trip, when I saw that, it's the clear reflection of who you are, who loved people and God, my friends. I would like to share with you a verse from the Bible, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, "Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." Faith comes from hearing the message. We usually take these words and we think that any non-believer hears the message of Christ, they receive faith and their life is saved. Absolutely right. But how about a Christian who is already a believer, who is already walking their life with God? A lot of times I see the Christians, so they are so complacent and they think they are so good and their walk with God is okay. They're all fine. But I have seen in my life that if we don't grow in faith day after day, our walk with God is not right. We got to self-examine our life time to time. So what I experience in my life is not only I give the message of Christ to a non-believer that they may receive faith, but also sometimes I talk to the believers what God has done in my life so that they receive faith. So often it happened that when I was disappointed and discouraged, somebody calls me, "Hey, Suresh, how are you doing?" "I'm doing very good, brother." And then they begin to say, "You know what God did in my life? This is what happened. This is what happened. Wow, I was praying for you at that time. Thank you for sharing." And that just built up my faith and just made me so encouraged and helped me to go through those difficult circumstances. So in the same way, this morning, I'm not preaching a regular routine sermon, but what I'm sharing with you is equally powerful and important that impacts your faith, my brothers. So as I share with you the mission report this morning, my prayer for all of you is that the Lord magnify your faith. Amen. And continue to strengthen you in the Spirit. And may the Lord enlighten you to know the hope which you are called. And before I continue the mission report, and I just want you to give you a brief overview of how Revival for All Ministries is actually originated. I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 14. After that, my church became my home. I spent majority of my time with the church and serving the believers in the church and helping the ministers, and I have become a lay preacher. So I was sent to the nearby villages and even within the city among the young people and adults and children to evangelize. So that's how I started my work of evangelism. In 2002, I had an opportunity to be selected as an expatriate teacher to go to the Republic of Maldives. Well, my journey was with a lot of troubles. In 2002, the flight was about to take off, but it was about to have a crash. And the pilot just maneuvered to just land it safely, and we were all safe. And when I came to my house and I prayed and said, "Lord, why did you spare my life?" And I thank God, and I know that God has a purpose for my life. And the same year, I struggled with a disease that just bothered me so much. I was all alone. And God rescued me from that. And 2 months later, the same year, I was in a shipwreck in the Indian Ocean. 45 minutes, I struggled in the middle of the ocean. And I was rescued, and I came back, and I cried to the Lord, "Why are you sparing me, Lord? I would have been dead by now." So as I was praying and continuing, and God gave me burden to cry for the nation of Republic of Maldives. That's the Muslim country, 100% Muslim country. Friday and Saturday is a holiday, and Sunday is the first day of the work. And I began to cry, and slowly God put a burden in my heart to cry for the world. And that's how I received my call as a missionary. And I started sincerely praying for that country, that God might raise someone in that country. But I never knew that God is working in my next door neighbor. He was touched by the God's Spirit. And he came from a Christian family, but I've never lived a Christian life. By the end of my term over there, 2.5 years before I left the country, I saw him very powerful and spiritually filled, became a prayer warrior that I had to go to him for prayer help. God worked tremendously in his life. And that just built up my confidence and pushed me forward in the mission. And God sent me to Dominican Republic in 2004 as an international teacher. And that is where I received my first mission call to start the mission work among the slum in Santo Domingo, the capital city of the country. I collaborated with the director of the Special Olympics of that country. Her family and myself, we used to go on every Wednesday to the slums in that city. And I used to take Bible classes and also preach the adults and sharing the message of love, message of comfort and hope. And that's how God just made me to be a missionary. And afterwards, I moved to the United States in 2006 as a cultural exchange visitor. In 2010 until 2009, I was in South Carolina. And I was in God's plan. I never knew that God found me and brought me to Will Platt in 2009. In 2010, God called me into the ministry of evangelism. And you people, you wonderful people of God, ordained me to be a missionary. And then I prayed, and what am I to do, Lord? And God led me to start an organization called Revival for All Ministries. This is not the name that I chose because it sounded fancy and is really good. No, God gave me this word. And I started this mission. I don't know what to do. But the Revival for All Ministries originated. In 2010, when I was ordained as an evangelism minister, and God helped me to go to India for my first mission trip. And that's where God used me among the pastors, among a lot of people, brought revival. And that paved the way to raise 7 more missionaries from among you in 2012. In 2012, God gave me 7 missionaries from among you. And we all made to India in 2012. What a wonderful blessing that village received. And Brother Kevin and I, we helped the pastors for 2 days in the conferences. Those pastors told me, for 25 years, we have never seen this kind of revival in the state. God used tremendously all the missionaries. And I tell you, my friends, the seeds that we have sown, the seeds of gospel will bring up one day. You will see the fruit of it. I will share with you a testimony I received. 18 years ago, I went to a little village side to preach. And as I was coming back, one of my church brothers expressed his concern. He had 3 little children, 3 girls. He was working as a temporary teacher in a Catholic school. And he didn't get paid very much. And he said, Suresh, I want to move from here. I said, where are you going? I'm going to a different place. I said, okay, that's fine, but you're missing this church. And he said, Suresh, I got to go anyway. I have 3 children. I need to raise them up. They're girls. I have a lot of expenses, but I can't make it. And I told him, brother, you might go and earn a little more money, but you are losing the fellowship of God's people. This is the place you can grow. This is the place you can fellowship with God. And I don't want you to go away from God and this wonderful ministry. And he was thinking about it, and I shared my testimony with him. And we just reached home, and I didn't know what happened afterwards. When I went to India this time, I saw the same man in the church. And he was helping in the ministry, and he's one of the lay preachers over there. And he shook my hands, and I took me outside and said, how is everything going? How are the girls doing? I said, Suresh, I tell you, 18 years ago, your testimony impressed me. Your testimony encouraged me, and I remain here with my family. And God raised 2 of my children, 2 of my girls, to be missionaries. Now they are working as missionaries in the North India. I said, wow. We have no idea how God multiplies and works through your presence over there, your testimony. Right. So 2012 ministry was a tremendous blessing. After 6 years, God took me again this year to India. And it was, phenomenal. I don't know how to express and the wonderful works that God performed in the lives of people. But this time, within the 6 years, there are a lot of changes in India. Finances changed, and the whole picture changed. Even I began to be surprised to see some things. In the same way, Christian persecution increased as well. I would like for you to watch a brief video clip to understand how India looks today. his situation to preach in India on Sundays. So during this type of circumstances, and as God led me to go to India this year, I started praying 6 months ago before my mission trip started. And this time, God gave me a very unique direction to pray and minister to the pastors and evangelists. I mean, I never focused on that so far. I went to several churches and I preached and I worked among the youth and worked among other people in the villages. But this time, God had given me a burden for ministers, the churches. So I prayed. And when you see in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20, we see the Great Commission was assigned to every Christian believer. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And this verse was heavy upon me. I was praying for pastors. I was praying for the churches. At the same time, God gave me a burden and cry for nations. I don't know where to go except India. And God brought to me these four countries. You can see, actually, that was my place where I wanted to go and minister. That's the South Indian hub where we started our evangelism. But I cried for other nations. I asked, Lord, give me other nations. And then God gave me Bhutan, Bangladesh, Nepal, and Burma. And all these places, I don't know how to go, but these are the places God gave me burden for. So as I've been praying for it, and God brought a very good friend of mine to my contact. And he was working in the Northeast India border. And he has connections to that. And we talked together and we planned and we prayed and we got ready for it. So this time God gave me a burden for churches and pastors and also several other countries. And I would like to share with you from here on and what God had done. Keep going, brother. And on May 28th, we started our journey. We're on mission with God. My family is always with me. We are a four-people team. Joshua, my son, and Angel, my daughter, Josna, Vani, my wife, and myself. Everywhere we go and preach, we're all together. That's the strength God gave me. We're always together. So we started our mission with God. And we reached India. Next slide. Next slide, you can see Brother Pastor John Babu and Brother Pawan Kumar. Pastor John Babu is our representative for Revival for All Ministries in India, in South India. That's where, through him, we work in the South Indian area. And also, Pastor Pawan Kumar, who is his younger son, is working with him. He's one of the pastors, Brother Kevin. We all ordained him to be a pastor in 2012. So they've been spreading to different places and preaching the gospel. God is blessing that ministry. And in the next slide, you can see that's the family that comforted me. You can see Mr. Gowri. That's my father-in-law. All the missionaries knew him. And I just wanted to show him he's doing very good and he's has been very supportive. God prepared everybody to support the mission. And I have no idea, and this family, they never eat non-vegetarian food. But when I was getting there, they're all prepared to cook and give us food and said, no, don't worry about it. We don't want to eat meat. No, Suresh, we want to take care of you. So they provided everything that we wanted to, pushing all their social boundaries away, but they are ready to support the ministry. Amen. And God gave us all the circumstances to be so comfortable and convenient. And in the next slide, you can see this is one of the family that we support. Last 3 years, we're supporting those little girls. Their names Mercy and Grace. And this brother, Babu Rao, he has been a lay preacher, is one of the preachers. He goes out to nearby villages and preaches. And he lives on his faith. You can see that house. The house has been like that for about 2 years. We support their education. We pay for their kids' their full school fee and his travel. But sometimes it's hard to meet all their needs. But we've been praying so that we can help that house gets fixed. When it rains, they just kind of stand up and pray, and the kids sleep in a corner, and wife and husband, they just stand up and spend the rest of the night because they have no place to sleep. So that's kind of situation, but you can see how faithful he is and still serves the Lord. And no complaints, he never makes any complaint. And I also involved my kids on mission. So my kids and I, we have a bike and take the bike and go to different places, and especially to just kind of support this family, my kids are involved, spend some time. My kids never seen those circumstances, so I wanted them to experience this is where some faithful believers live. Still, they never complain. I wanted them to see how comfortable we are here in America and how they are, but still their faith is so stronger. I want my kids to learn. That's why I took them and spent some time over there. And then in the next slide, you can see my first preaching over there on my mission trip. That is another state God had given us this year. We are actually located in Andhra Pradesh state, but this is another state. This state is called Telangana. This is one of the great churches over there. Here, there are about 5,000 people gather on every first Sunday. They wanted me to come and preach that day. And God used me wonderfully and to touch their lives. And there were five. In the next slide, you can see there are five women came forward to get baptized that day. They gave their lives to God. Wonderful things God performed. And in the next slide, you can see the Waliveru Baptist Church that was partially funded by from the First Baptist Church. Before we built that church, they were just sitting in a hood. The snakes were just wandering around the church all the time. There's no access to go to the church except they put just kind of some kind of the tree stems just put across the canal. They just people walk over that. But now they have a comfortable church. You can see inside the church, and they're all sitting there comfortable. About 2,000 people gather on every Sunday. And God helped me to preach in a place. And in the next slide, you can see that was a wonderful blessing that we carried from First Baptist Church this year. And since 2010, we've been working in this village. And we do all our operations, mission operations, from this place. So we wanted to earn their trust, and we wanted to earn a right to preach and continue to work in that village. So when they were in need to build a community hall, I talked to Brother Kevin and also consulted Brother John Babu to see what we can do. So I offered 100,000 Indian rupees as a donation from our church so that we can be part of the community when they build a community hall. And that, what a wonderful blessing they received. And those people are the village chief and village elders over there. And I said, I don't want to give just money just like that going to their office, but I wanted them to come to church and listen to the sermon that day. So they all came to Sunday. They were sitting there in the back, and they listened to the sermon. And at the end of the sermon, and I happened to offer that. So they have been very cooperative for us. And afterwards, in the next slide, you can see I visited. And when I talked to Brother Kevin about our mission trip, if he happened to go with me and he wanted to visit the churches individually and see the pastors. So I did that this time because I went alone. So when I did this, I just wanted to survey what their needs are, because God gave me a big burden to support these pastors. Like, if, you know, give a conference to these pastors, and 2 days training we planned for that. So I don't know how to guide. So God gave me guidance to go and survey, just to talk to all these pastors. I just put only 6 slides for the lack of time. But I just visited several churches individually for 3 days on the road. I went to every pastor and talked to them, and I listened to their testimony and prayed personally. So God gave me an understanding of what they're in need of as the church, and also as the pastor, as the church leader. And some of the constructions going on. And there are over 40 churches that we've supported through our funding for their construction.
Amen.
So that's a wonderful things going on in India. And in the next slide, we can see there's another place I preach to pastors. Even though I preach there to pastors, there are some local church folks came there to help the pastors over there because a lot of pastors are gathering for a conference. God gave me an opportunity to preach. When I was leaving the church, there is a group of people, young people, came forward, just asked for a prayer. Brother Suresh, can you please pray for us? We're about to start college. Then God gave me direction to talk about their spiritual life. How are you doing in the spirit? Well, they have no answer. How long have you been coming to church? Since my childhood. Then I asked, did you give your life to God? No. Do you know what it means? No. So I took a time to talk to those girls. They began to shed tears. And the parents were with them, and the parents were just shedding tears. And I shared my testimony and said, how long will you wander in this world, my brothers and sisters? This is the right time to give your life to God. I don't even want you to get out of this place without making a decision, if you can. The parents were with them, and the young people were there. And then they just cried and prayed and said, brother, I want to give my life to God today. 9 young men and women were saved right then and there. I have no idea that I was going to do that. But just God gave me an opportunity. So that's how, and when I saw these young men who came forward, I prayed for them, and I turned them over to the pastor to take care of their baptism needs and continue to feed them in the spirit. And comes next, the pastor's conference, the big job of this mission trip. 2 days of pastor's conference. I don't know how I would do. Based on the surveying I have done, I have seen that they are looking at the persecution going on. All the pastors in the churches, they become weak and they're just kind of, Suresh, what can we do? Why are our pastors are being so sick? A lot of dreadful diseases and conditions are not good. So God gave me burden to encourage them and to strengthen their faith. And then I made my lessons for 2 days, each day 3 sessions, and there were 128 pastors attended 2 days conference. Through your support and the financial assistance, and I could provide them transportation, the food, and all kinds of things that they need for the ministry for those 2 days. And the amazing thing was that there were pastors sitting in front of me who had been preaching for 30, 40 years in their church. They're listening and giving their life, giving their, you know, their whole attention to the God's word. They listened 2 days. The second day, the number rose. And then the second day at the end, I asked the pastors to recommit their lives to God and be revived. And there were about 30 minutes uproar in the church. Pastors raised their hands and crying and recommitted their life to God. And one of the pastors was right there who was sick and still came to the 2 days conference. And he went back and he said, I need to get right with the people as well. Then he wrote letters and also he went to God and spent time and confessed all his sins because he wanted to be an effective preacher.
Amen.
And after a week, he went to a doctor and there was a dreadful disease he was going through he didn't know. And he said, it's okay. Now I'm right with God. I'm right with people. Do whatever you should do. After the surgery, God, you know, made him all right. So wonderful things took place. About Brother John Babu expressed his gratitude, saying at the very end of the last day of the conference, he came forward and gave a testimony. He said, my mom, as a minister, received a vision 44 years ago. That God told her that one day he will bless this village by bringing all the pastors from around the state, that the pastors pray for this village and make this to be a holy place. And he said, I have seen that the vision come true today after 44 years. So it's a wonderfully God blessed all these pastors. And also you can see sick people saved. And one of the things I can tell you of the lack of time, as I was walking through the village and visiting several houses, there was an old man sitting there who could not get up. And he could not walk for so many days. And I talked to him and I said, "Are you saved?" "Yes, brother, I go to church." "No." I said, "No. Are you saved?" And he said, "I can sing very well. Can you sing a song for me, praising the Lord?" And he sang that song. The old man sang a song with all of his heart. And I said, "Your song, your faith will save you right now. And you are with God." This minute on, I prayed for him that God may heal him. 3 weeks after I went to the same church, I could see an old man sitting there, dressed up so nice and neat, and walking to me outside the church. "Suresh, do you see me?" "Wow, it's amazing. You could walk?" "Yes, I can walk fast, but I can walk step by step. I can just wait for a little while, and I can continue my journey." And said, "No problem. Keep doing. God will give you faith." I have seen those things in just so many. God has performed so many wonderful things in the ministry. And also you can see God used my daughter as well. In the same church, in the next slide, you can see angel preaching in the church. And Brother John Babu asked me, because he heard angel preaching one day, said, "Can you ask angel to preach?" And I said, "Angel, can you pray and prepare for a short sermon?" Then she prepared a sermon, and the next day, the day that we were going to church, and asked her, "What sermon are you going to preach?" And she said, "Unshakable faith." I said, "Oof, that sounds powerful." And I let her go with her notes, and I just helped her. And I said, "Okay, this is how I translate and all that." So I translated into Telugu. And one of the marvelous things God had done was that same day, he brought the non-Christian families to the church. All my relatives, non-Christian relatives, attended because Angel was preaching that day. And they had businesses to do, and they arranged someone to look after their businesses and all that. Every family attended. I said, "Wow." At least God used my daughter to bring all of them to the church. So that was a great blessing. And in the next slide, I would like to briefly give you a report about Northeast India Mission. The brother Emmanuel was the missionary serving there on the border. And Northeast India Mission, it's actually started in the city of Aizawl in the state of Mizoram, India. Aizawl city, the reason I selected that city and the state is a Christian state. In Indian nation, that's the city is a Christian state. But the problem with that state is this. Everybody would like to go to church. Church is the part of their life, but they are not part of God. And they don't live the word of God. They go to church for entertainment. They go to the church because they want to belong to the community. They love to go to church. All the roads are clean and waking on Sunday because everybody will be in the church. They sing for about 1.5 hour, and the preacher preaches for 10 minutes and they go. That's how they spend. There is no value for marriage. There's no value for faith. There is no value for holiness. They don't know all these things. All they know, they go to church, they think they are fine. And that is the kind of state. And God gave me several places to go and preach in that state and the city. And from there, we begin to operate our missionary work to go into Bangladesh, Bhutan, Nepal, and Burma. These are all the countries. You can see that's Bangladesh. In the next slide, you can see that's the Nepal. It's a predominantly Hindu nation. And the Bhutan is a Buddhist nation. And then Burma is also a Buddhist influence. So these four countries I wanted to go and I prayed for. But I could not go to all the places except reaching to the border of Bangladesh. I was just kind of a little bit disappointed. Lord, I wanted to visit these places. You know, if I had gone to these places, I would be preaching in some of the churches. But God brought again the pastors and the Bible students to me from these countries so that I could minister to them. It's a wonderful way. In the next slide, and that is the first church, first theological seminary I preached. And this is called Carson Baptist Theological Seminary. And this is where, in the next slide, you can see, God gave us four missionaries to go into Bangladesh. Now, these four young people came to India as refugees, and they started getting their education over there, and they heard the gospel, they were saved. They wanted to take Christ back to their community in Bangladesh, but they don't have a sponsor. their work in the market area and earn money to help their education. But God led me to take care of these young men to support it. So I prayed to raise $250 a month to support these four young people, their education, and all their needs, including Brother Emmanuel for his travel. So I prayed. I don't know how I would do that, but just the first time I sent August 1st $250, that's right from my family. But I don't know how God is going to provide, but I'm praying for it. So in the next slide, we can see that's another Bantan Memorial Theological Seminary God gave an opportunity to preach that is Burma-based. I couldn't go to Burma, but God gave me an opportunity to minister to those students who are going into Burma. And we have an offer. They invited me already. I said next year I might visit with my senior pastor. So Brother Kevin and I already received an official for an official visit to Burma, if God willing, in the next or 1 or 2 years, to reach out to these people. And keep going, brother. And this is a medical college where we can see these young men gather, young women and gather and receive the word of God. And God helped me to just minister to several places like some medical colleges and also in army offices and army places that other people could not go. And I would like to close with one little thing. God gave me an opportunity to minister to some of these churches because the churches are in need of true word of God. So one Sunday I preached in 5 different churches in 5 different sermons. In one church, and they asked me, "Brother, can you preach?" That's it. That's how they say it. Well, I don't have a sermon ready. And I prayed and said, God said, "Your testimony is your sermon." Amen. And that touched their lives. And the one last church I visited is called Breakthrough Believers Church. That's where all the people go to other churches, and they come in afternoon session. They gather in a huge church for a contemporary worship. That is where God gave me an opportunity. And when I went there and preached the gospel at the end of the service and asked who is ready to commit their lives to God, there are 23 people came forward to give their life to God that day. Amen. My friends, and all these things, I can tell you stories after stories. I don't have a time, but I tell you one thing. As we are going through, as I started for the mission work, there are a lot of detractors and oppressions. I had to go through all those things. Usually, during the ministry, sometimes I faced hurdles. But this time, even before I started the ministry, I faced hurdles. I lost my job just 1 week before I left for ministry. I don't know what to do. Sometimes the enemy takes away your value, your reputation. My reputation was at stake. I don't know what to do. And I can't think of anything. I went to the Lord. And I prayed 3 days before I take any further step. And after 3 days of prayer, and I sent an email to everyone. Is there any job in the district that I can get it? I need a job today. And do you want to go back to classroom? I don't care whatever the job you give me, because I need a job to come back to the nation. And then said, Suresh, you are a teacher trainer, but now you're going back to classroom. It's okay. And I accepted the job and I left. I mean, it was kind of, sometimes whenever I was going through that, it just took away my confidence. Suresh, you're not good. You think you can preach to pastors? All these things, and just the enemy is just combating. But God gave me confidence with a double portion of the Spirit. Amen. He took me and used me wonderfully in all these places. Not even a single place I told about my job, because I don't want people, their focus to shift. I didn't think about anything. God is going to take care of me. But no matter what people wanted to do, one thing I learned, when the world or the people lower your value, do not live up to their expectations. Raise your head, because the God of heaven will give us success. And for the glory of God, and I can tell you all this. God has given me privilege. Always when I preach a sermon, either I live and preach or I preach and live. So God bless you all, and thank you for this time. And I want to encourage you, keep doing what you're doing, because you are living the Great Commission. Through your prayers and your little finances that you give it to the Lord, so many people are blessed. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Wouldn't it good to hear what we get to have a part of? We get to be a part of that work. Amen. Let's stand, and we're going to close with Shout to the Lord.